Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday morning worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. If you are a visitor in our midst, we welcome you most warmly to this time of worship with us. Just a few intimations to share before we begin our time of worship together. First of all, it's our delight to have a very special guest preacher with us this morning. This lovely woman sitting in the front row, dressed in black and purple. My wife, Heather, is preaching the sermon this morning, and Heather, we're delighted to have you share God's word with us this morning. Other intimations to share, if you're looking for those last-minute Christmas cards, I think they're still on sale in the fellowship area of the church in the back. Please do take a look at those. We'll have a burn supper coming up in January on the 23rd at 6 for 6:30 at the church center. Tickets are £10, and please talk to Ishbel or Muriel for information and booking for that event. And also, as you may remember, this evening we have a service of lessons and carols here in the church starting at 6:30 p.m. And I'd like to say thank you to everyone who volunteered to do a reading for that event tonight. And if you are one of those who has volunteered, and if you're here this morning, in the back of the church on the left-hand side, there's a list, a breakdown of reading assignments, a reminder list of who's doing which reading. So if you are involved in that event and you need a script, please make sure you check in the back of the church for that. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family this morning? Anything else at all? Well, with that said, let us enter into our time of worship together by singing our gathering song, "For unto us a child is born, and open the eyes of my heart."
Let's all stand.
Received a request as well to announce again as well the other activities happening this week in the church, of course being a very special week, isn't it? Starting on Christmas Eve on Thursday, we will have at 6:30 our service of Clothing the Cradle as a children's focused service. And then at 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve night, we will have Carols for All, followed immediately at 11:30 by our Watch Night service. So please do mark your diaries for those events and come along and join in the blessing that is worship at Christmas time. With that said, I would now ask Alan and Natasha Anderson forward for the lighting of our fourth Advent candle.
Morning. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David. I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations.
New life is coming. We can count in days now. God is breaking through. God's word will change the world. We will all be changed by the language of love. The covenant has come down through the generations. The love of God is never ending. We give thanks for God's faithfulness. Today we light the candle of love. We give thanks for God's steadfast love.
Worship God through song by singing our next song together, How Great Thou Art, and during the singing of this hymn, your offering for God's continued work will be uplifted.
I'm
Shall we pray? Dear Father, thank you that you have brought each of us safely to this place. We gladly surrender our lives to you in worship and praise. As we gather, we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for healing. And for those away from us, we ask for your blessing to be on them. We invite you, beautiful Holy Spirit, to move freely amongst us. Come dwell in each of our hearts. Equip us, challenge us, comfort us, teach us. Inspire us as we learn more about your majestic ways. As we lay our lives before you, may we worship and adore you with every fibre of our being. Let us today join with all those who worship and confess you as Lord, from generations past and present, and with all the angels that sing in heaven of your greatness and beauty. As winter takes hold and the days shorten, the candles lit remind us of your guiding light that takes away the gloom and replaces it with your uplifting presence. May your light fill our lives with your love, fill our conversations with your grace and truth, and fill this meeting with your presence. Our gifts are before you, Lord, and we offer them to you with grateful, cheerful hearts. Thank you that you meet our needs on the journey, providing what we need when we need it. Trust in you, we can share what we have with others, and we do this joyfully together today. All these things we ask in your most precious name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass. And but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, this is already a very special time in the church year, with Advent upon us, with Christmas just around the corner. But today's service is made even more special by the fact we have new members joining us today, formally joining as part of our church family. So at this time, I would ask those present who wish to join as new members, who have been through the membership class the last few weeks, to come forward at this time. It's wonderful to see you all here today. This morning, by the way, we have Natasha and Alan Anderson, Charlie and Shirley Milne, and Joe Black here joining us as members of our church. And Scripture has a lot to say about membership, about the meaning of unity in Christ together. And so we first hear these words from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. St. Paul tells us there is one body, there is one spirit. And just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. The sisters and brothers in Christ, we are here today because each of us has been grafted into Christ. Through the birth, life, death and resurrection of Jesus, the power of sin has been broken for all time, and God's kingdom has broken into our world. And Jesus Christ has made each of us citizens of God's kingdom and freed us from the bondage of sin. Let us celebrate that freedom and that redemption that Jesus Christ has won for each of us. And I ask the five of you, therefore, once again to reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus, and to confess the faith of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. So here come the questions. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, say,
I do. Do you believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, say, I do. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love for your life? If so, say, I do. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word as revealed in Scripture and showing his love to the world around you? If so, say, I will with God's help. Very good. You have publicly professed your faith, and now I ask you, will you be a faithful member of this congregation? Will you share in its worship and ministry through your prayers and gifts, through study and service, and so fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I will with God's help. Wonderful. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people, for gathering each of us into the body of Christ. We thank you for choosing to add to our number brothers and sisters in faith. Together, may we live in your spirit and so love one another that we may have the mind of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory forever. Amen. And now one final question, now to the whole church family, and please turn around for this question. Look at your brothers and sisters in the faith here. What a lovely bunch of people. And so the last question is for the congregation as a whole. Do you promise, with God's help, to do everything in your power to support these five individuals in their walk of Christian faith? Will you love them, support them, and equip them in their Christian journey? If so, say, we will.
We will.
There you go. And now I invite members of Session who are present to come forward to offer the right hand of fellowship to these five new members of our church. Members of Session, please come forward. You can turn back around now. I was going to ask them if they'd obey their minister at all times, but I'm afraid they say no. We are so delighted to have you formally join as members of this church family, and as a token of our welcome, we'd like to present you with these Bibles. This is a very special version of the Bible. It's called The Story. It's based off of the NIV translation of the Bible. And what this is, it's the Bible in narrative form. So it treats it as one continuing story, starting in the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation. And our prayer is that as you continue your Christian journeys, that this would be a great help in learning more about the most important story of all, which is, of course, God's story. So please accept these on behalf of the session, from the session. And may the Lord bless and keep each of you as you continue on from here. And we still look forward to having you continue to contribute to the life and ministry of this church. Let's give our newest members a round of applause. I think we've embarrassed you enough. You can go back to your seats now.
And a key part of the story is the Christmas story. And with the Christmas story comes baby Jesus, who I have up here. But I don't have anybody up here to worship baby Jesus. And I asked a few of the kids if you would help me remember who was there to take care of Jesus and worship him on the very first Christmas. And so we're missing a few people. Annabelle, who do you have? Would you bring that up for me, Miss Annabelle? Who do you think that is? Joseph, very good. He's got a long beard. I think it's a very good guess. And do you know anything about Joseph? Who was he?
He was baby Jesus's dad.
Yeah, very good. He was his earthly father. Thank you, Annabelle. Come on down. Okay, let's see. And we need somebody else who brought baby Jesus into the world. So, Victoria, can you bring up who you have? Let's see. Let's put them. Who do you think this one is? Yeah, it's Mary. Thank you. And was Mary Jesus' mother? Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Victoria, for that. We have Mary, Jesus' mother, who came and brought Jesus into the world. And they came in on a special animal, didn't they? Lewis, can you bring up the special animal? Did they come in on a mighty horse coming in, galloping in? What animal did they come in on? Let's see if Lewis can show us. Lewis, can I? Oh, he's going to show all of you. I like that. Are you going to bring him up? You can bring him up with me. Do you know the name of that animal, Lewis? Do you know
donkey.
What? A donkey. Very good. Thank you, Lewis. You can go see Mom and Dad now. Good job. He came in on a donkey. We'll let him go back. We'll let the donkey go back. He came in on a very meek animal that was Jesus was born. And there were some people who found out first. And so who were the people who found out first, Charlotte and Katie? Can you come up and tell me who found out first about baby Jesus' birth? Who do we have here?
Shepherds.
Shepherds. Very good. Anything that we know about the shepherds? They looked after sheep. And did you know that sheep were kind of smelly? This was one of the jobs that you did not want to have. And pretty amazing that the people who were on the lowest end of the pedestal got to find out first about Jesus. Thank you very much, you guys. Okay, and then who else did we have? Samuel and Daniel, can you come on up? And I like that they're all the way in the pew because these of who they're bringing up had to travel miles and miles and miles and miles all the way to come to see baby Jesus. And so I like that it's taking them a little bit of time because believe it or not, it took a long time to bring up, Daniel, are you going to bring them up? And Samuel, do you know what their names were, we called them? Do you remember what we called them? Oh, frankincense. I'm impressed. Very good. They brought frankincense. Very good. And myrrh and gold. And we called them sometimes the kings or the magi. Thank you, guys. Good job. Thank you, Samuel. Let's give our kids all a round of applause for helping. And Samuel gets a bonus point, man. Frankincense. Not everyone knows that one. Very good. They all came to worship Jesus. And so with Christmas, right, we can get caught up. How many people have a lot of things they have to do, right? Even at school, we have things that we have to do. But Christmas is really all about just coming up and worshiping Jesus. And that's what we get to do this time of year. And so I encourage all of you to find one special way that you can worship Jesus this Christmas. And so let us pray together. Lord, I thank you for all of my special friends who helped us to remember that the biggest thing about Christmas is coming to worship you. And so, Lord, as we run around and do lots of different things this week, maybe take time to come and to sing to you, to pray to you, to read the scriptures again of remembering what the story is all about, to worship you, the newborn king. And so we say thank you again, Jesus, for coming as a baby so that we can live forever again with you. We pray this in your mighty name, and all God's children say amen. And so it makes sense after this children's sermon to have a song in which we get to worship Jesus. And so this may be a new one for some of us, but we get to take time now to adore our king. Let us worship together.
Yeah. reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 1, reading from verses 18 to 25, and that can be found on page 965 of the Church Bible. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thanks be to God for this reading.
We're going to respond to that good news by singing an Advent hymn that may be a little different for us. It's a Taizé Advent hymn, and Taizé songs are meant to focus us upon the Lord and to set aside our distractions. And so since it's new, Miss Emsley's going to play it through once, and we're going to sing it three times. And so may we enter into the good news that Emmanuel is near and that we need not fear by singing "In the Lord, I'll Be Ever Thankful." That is the good news of Advent, right? The Lord is near. It's good to be with you on this fourth Sunday of Advent, although I have to say a little bit difficult following the third Sunday of Advent, which featured our kids' nativity play, and they did a great job, did they not? And so a special thanks to Suzanne, I know who's left, and Helen for all of your hard work that you did on that, and for all of those who helped with their children's nativity play. And I have to confess to you, I like nativity plays. In fact, I like them especially when they don't go according to plan. Don't we all like that? Didn't we all, if we were here last week, love our angel Victoria looking at the screen? Didn't we all delight in that? And didn't we delight a little bit when lovely Mary stepped on the robe of Joseph and we had an almost catastrophe there? There's something beautiful in that, right? Being so innocent and authentic. We delight in the missteps. In fact, Tony, Emma, and I commented afterwards, in fact, if we saw a nativity play that was perfect, it might be a little boring, right? We like those missteps in that. But how often do we apply that principle to our own lives, right? Especially at Christmas time. How many of us at Christmas time have said, I'm wanting things not to go according to plan, right? We don't say that at all. No, we're quick to find joy and grace for the children's missteps, but when it comes to our own lives, and when perhaps something's not perfect, that we fail, we trip, whether it be literally or figuratively, we are a little harder on ourselves than the children, right? We don't always find delight in that. In fact, often we get angry, we get fearful, and we're hard on ourselves. So why is this that we offer such grace to children, but we don't offer it to ourselves? Because life gets messy, right? And things happen. And today, I would love us to find that connection of where things don't go according to plan, and may we connect with the characters of the first nativity story, because did things go according to plan for them? Could you imagine Mary wanting to give birth in a barn? Imagine the smells. That might make you feel better if you're having guests this Christmas, right? The King of Kings was not welcome to a clean home, right? It puts things a little bit more into proper perspective. But there was a lot there that seemed to have missteps or didn't go according to plan. And we're going to focus specifically on Joseph today. And I have to say, usually he's the one I like to preach on the least. I always find Mary so intriguing, even the delight of the shepherds and the kings. And I haven't always found Joseph to be that exciting because Joseph has no lines, right? He never talks in Scripture. But he's someone who can definitely help us understand when life goes off the rails. Today, we're going to look at his dreams, how he reacted when things went awry, the words that the angel said to him, and how he chose to move forward. So let us take our questions and perhaps how we respond to mistakes in our own lives or when things go awry, and bring that to our text as we look at Joseph today. And if you've been with me before, you know I love to refer back to Scripture, so I would love, if you don't have your Bible open in front of you, to open again to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to refer to that. So whether you have it in your lap or in the chair in front of you, we'll pick that up frequently. Before we dig into that, let's pray together. Lord, how great it is that we have models of people who've gone before us to see how they reacted when their plans went awry, when their dreams were unmet. And so, Lord, would you teach us through your living word today? May we find that the word is alive to us, and may you help us to respond to the living word today. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen. So here we have Joseph. And what was his dream? His dream was to marry Mary, but not exactly as it was going on right here, right? Things went a little bit upside down for him. And I think a key to really understanding what Joseph's dreams may have been all about is to look at verse 18. There it says, his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. I think it's good to dig into what this word pledged might mean. And today, we don't have the same engagement process that they would have had back then. Back then, the engagement process would have had three steps. The first one would be similar to ours, engagement. And the third would be a little similar, the wedding celebration, except different. Remember the wedding at Cana, and it lasted a whole week? So those are the bookends. But in the middle is this betrothal stage. And I don't think I know of any society today, but I'm sure there is one that still has this, because betrothal was not just a word of mouth, it was a legal binding agreement. So if Joseph was to leave Mary, it would be a divorce. There would be a break and a commitment there. In fact, there was a legal bond at this point between the two of them. And so it's also important to note, if you had an affair during this stage, it was still considered adultery, and you could be stoned because of it being a legal binding commitment. And this betrothal stage usually lasted a year. And so you can imagine what Joseph would have been doing for this year, right? I think as a carpenter, he probably would have literally been building his home. I'm sure Mary would have been knitting things, getting everything ready for their dream to come together as one and then to have children. And at this stage of betrothal, you didn't live together. And so you can imagine how excited I'm sure Joseph was, dreaming of his wedding celebration that was to come, when all of a sudden he hears that his betrothed is pregnant. And so the automatic conclusion is what? She's unfaithful, right? And so this is where I think for most people the story would have ended. She would have been stoned. Perhaps Mary would have been abandoned or divorced. But Joseph wasn't just an ordinary man. And so let's dig back into our Bibles. How does it describe him? I'm curious what your translation says. Because Joseph and her husband was, what word do you have there? Righteous. Some of us have righteous. Perhaps some of us have faithful to the law. I don't know if anyone has just. Those are kind of the normal words that are used here. In the Greek, it would be translated just or righteous. And as Christians, we use that word a lot, don't we? Righteous. To be a righteous man or a righteous woman. But what in the world does that mean? Part of it is what part of the NIV, some of the NIV translations do. They talk about being faithful to the law, knowing Torah, knowing the Old Testament. So we get that, right? Part of being a Christian, or for him, a good Jew, would have been knowing Scripture. And so he would have known Deuteronomy, which said, if a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married, and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. So part of being righteous is knowing God's word. But there's more to righteousness. One of my professors defined righteousness as a sensitivity to the will of God and a sensitivity to other people. So righteousness is not just about knowing the law. It's also about knowing the will of God and loving others. Another one of my professors described righteousness as right relatedness to God and to others. So you're probably beginning to see a theme here, that living as a righteous Christian, or for Joseph, a righteous Jew, meaning to be in right relationship with God, but also right relationship with others. And so a life of righteousness really means we have to step forth in discernment, right? Because right here, Joseph, the law said to stone Mary. But that in his heart did not seem to be how he would treat someone in right relatedness. And I think it's good to stop today, especially during the Christmas season, and to talk about righteousness, because we deal a lot with other people during the Christmas holidays, don't we? And so often we don't always have righteous behavior towards them. And this is part of the call for us as Christians, is to walk forward in righteousness. And that is what Joseph models for us here. And so he wrestled that through, I believe, and so he chose the path of righteousness, walking forward in grace and truth, and decided, right, to just divorce her quietly. That's what the text says. And I have to say, at this point, if I were to look at all the characters of the first nativity, this is when I begin to think, Joseph's kind of boring, right? He always chose the right thing. It must have been easy for him. We don't have any words, right, about what he said. And that's almost when, as a model, a hero, a saint to look forward to model, I think, I can't really relate to Joseph because he was so perfect. And so in many ways, I began to always tune him out. And that's why I have to confess I haven't liked preaching about Joseph. And it wasn't until a couple years ago when I looked at verse 20 and read it in different translations that I began to wonder a little bit more about if Joseph had doubts. So in verse 20, it says, but after he had, and what does your text say there? Considered this. Well, in the English, that sounds pretty benign, right? He considered this. From the 8th century, an Arabic translation translated this, while Joseph was disturbed over the matter. And another older translation, well, Joseph fumed over this matter. And that began to get me to like Joseph more, right? I thought that makes sense to me that he's upset about this. And so I thought, I want to know a little bit what this word consider means, which in the English just sounds so simple that he just made this decision. And so I went back to the Greek text, I should confess, I asked my husband to go back to the Greek text. And I said, okay, Josh, what does this word consider really mean in the original language? And I began to learn that it meant to consider, really weighing deeply in your heart, mind, and soul. But it could also mean to become angry. And I thought, ooh, kind of like that, right? Here's Joseph and he was angry. And we don't know if that was the original intent, but there are two definitions to this Greek word. And I find it interesting that Matthew chose this word with double meaning, because there's other Greek words that Josh and I discovered that he could have used that just meant to consider, that had no other levels of it. But Matthew chose this word, and it's only used one other time in the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament, and it's associated with anger. In fact, the root of this word is anger. And so I think with this, Matthew is giving us a glimpse a little bit about Joseph, is that he was frustrated, perhaps. He was considering it. Maybe the word stewing would work here. Maybe the Arabic translations aren't far off with he was disturbed about the matter and was fuming over the matter. And so here he is, and I begin to think, now that's someone that perhaps I could be like. He understands what it is to be angry. He understands what it is to deal with the face of his plans not going according to plan. Because has anyone else been angry in the face of disappointment when things don't go according to plan? I know I have gotten angry. And this helps me to know that anger is not bad in itself. It's how we express it or what we want to do with it, right? And that's what Joseph was faced with. What was he going to do with this anger? He had a choice of what to do with his disappointment, what to do with Mary, what to do with the baby. And we all have choices what to do this Christmas, because I imagine in some way we all have disappointments this Christmas. And I think it may help to know what Joseph heard next in this place where he was stewing, trying to consider deeply what to do, perhaps even being angry. What does the angel say to him in verse 20? The famous words, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid." Right? Do not fear. Perhaps when we're experiencing anger, the first thing we should stop and ask ourselves, what are we fearing? And to help us, perhaps in those places when we have anger and to have fear, let's hear what was said to Joseph. Why did he need not fear? Verse 20 continues. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Joseph didn't have to be afraid, because this change of plans that perhaps felt horrible, felt like sin, felt like it was not of the Lord, the angel is saying, yes, this is of the Lord. This is not an evil plan, a plan to hurt Joseph, but of the Holy Spirit. And as we've already discovered, he's righteous, and so he knows God's word. And when did we first see the Holy Spirit? But all the way back in the beginning, in the book of Genesis. And so I'm sure in some ways, as a devout Jew at this point, he would have heard that Spirit bringing life as the same idea, the same Spirit that breathed life into creation from nothing, right, is now bringing life into Mary out of nothing. And so Joseph didn't need to fear, because this is of the Holy Spirit. And perhaps when we face fear or anger, a switch of direction in our plans, we need to ask the Lord, is this change of direction of the Holy Spirit? And to stop and pray and discern from that place. Second, why did Joseph need not fear? It comes in verse 21. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." We say that word a lot, don't we? But how often do we stop and think, what does Jesus mean? What's the meaning in the name? And in this text, names had meaning, right? We learned that in older centuries, that your name meant something. And Jesus was Joshua, Yahshua. Yahweh is salvation. God himself will save. And here I can't help but think Joseph could hear, you know what? You don't have to save this mess. Yahshua, Jesus, will save it. Jesus will do it. I'm sure Joseph felt like it was all upon his shoulders to figure it out at this point, right? We often do that when we face disappointment or change. We begin to try to do it ourselves, and we get scared in that place. And so when we are scared, let us remember the power and the name of Jesus. Jesus will do it. Jesus will save, not us. I think one of the biggest problems in today's church is we often think we're God and we try to do it ourselves. But let us remember every time we proclaim Jesus' name, that in itself says Jesus will do it. Yahshua will save, not us. So in that place of fear, let us remember the power of his name. And let us remember the power of his other name, which is found in verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I love this time of year because we get to remember this name of Christ, God with us. How many times when we are afraid do we forget that we are not alone, that God is with us? Joseph did not have to be afraid because Yahweh, the King of Kings, was with him. It was not all upon his shoulders. Joseph had every reason to fear. He had a choice and he had a risky way forward. And he probably felt angry, as we've discovered. At this time, he's living in a shame-based culture, and so that culture is probably condemning Mary, and with that, condemning Joseph. And what does he do? What does the angel call him to do? But in verse 21, the angel calls him to give him a name. We just read this today and we don't really think about that. But in that culture, if you named something, think all the way back to Adam. If you named something, you had power over it, right? Adam named all the animals. In this way, the angel is saying, as you name him, you are to take him as your own. In many ways, we probably translate this today as you are to adopt him. And so the angel is challenging him to take this son who is not of his own blood, and to take him on as his own. And so what did Joseph do? He woke up from his dream and he chose to walk forward in faith, not holding on to his plans, which he had thought would happen in his betrothal stage, but he said yes to God's plan. We started off, if you were here this morning, early singing one of my favorite songs, In Christ Alone, and we're gonna sing it again shortly. One of the final lines of the song is one of my favorites. It says, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Do we believe that? From our very first breath to our last breath, that Jesus commands our destiny. Are we willing to give him control and allow him to lead every area of our lives, even those places where we've made mistakes, where we're discouraged? Are we allowing him to be in control? Joseph did. He lived out that song. He didn't know what the future held, but he knew Emmanuel, God with him, knew the future. He knew Jesus, the one who saves, knew the future, and he needed not to fear. There's something about the Christ child coming, which is the answer to our fears. Four times it says in the Christmas story, do not fear. Four times. Once to Joseph, once to Mary. We often forget about him saying it to Zechariah and to the shepherds. Four times the angel came to us and said, fear not. And I don't know about you, but often repetition is meant to get something into our heads. And so this Christmas, may we remember that the child is the answer to our fears. And that child is going to grow up again, is he not, to be the savior of the world. In our household, you've probably learned that Joshua and I like movies. And there's many movies that we agree upon. We both saw Star Wars this last weekend. And we did see it twice. First time ever I saw a movie twice in the cinema. I'm a little frugal. There's one genre of movies we don't agree upon. It's in the States, we call these Hallmark movies, the feel-good movies, the ones that always have the happy ending. I adore these movies. At Christmas time, I can watch these stories nonstop. They make me feel good. And Joshua says, they're predictable. And I said, I know, that's why I like them. And he said, you always know the ending. And I said, I know, that's why I like them. I like to know that there's a good ending. And as Christians, we have a good ending that is upon us. Life is messy in the here and now. Life was messy at the birth of Christ. But there will be a day when there will be a Christmas where there will be no mess. There will be a Christmas where there will be no tears. There will be a Christmas where we can rest in the Lord, because this child is going to grow up. This child is going to grow up to become our Savior, to go to the cross to declare it is finished, and he will come back again as a bright morning star. I think we so often forget that at Advent. It's not just celebrating the baby, but celebrating that Christ will come back again. And so for those of you who are just longing for that Christmas, which is perfect, know it's a good longing. And it's a longing that's meant to be fulfilled when Christ returns again. And in the meantime, may we give each other grace, like we gave to Joseph, perhaps in that place where he was angry, like we give to the children when they trip up. And may at some point, may we even delight in the mistakes, knowing that we're human. But Christ has enabled us through his Holy Spirit to not fear and to live a life of righteousness, following him and loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you again that you are Emmanuel, God with us, the one who came, the one who comes, and the one who will come again. And we today let go of control once again. You know that place in our heart where we just want it to be perfect, where we don't like the change of plan, the change of course. And today we trust you again with those plans as much as we are able to. And we ask Yahshua, Jesus, that you would be our Savior, that you would be the one who holds all things together, not us, and that you would help us not to live in fear, but thanking you that you have conquered death, that you will come again. And so, Lord, we do truly give our lives to you and thank you that you are the beginning and that you are the end and that you command our destiny. We pray this in your powerful name, and all God's children say, amen. Our hope is not found in our plans, but our hope is found in Christ alone, and so it seems appropriate for us to stand and sing in Christ alone as a response to the word today.
Oh, Let us pray. Father God, in you alone our hope is found. You are our light and strength, and the cornerstone upon which we can safely build our lives. When the storms of life rage around us, and we can find no place to turn, we can be safe in the knowledge that the helpless babe in the manger at Christmas is the creator of our universe and strong enough to carry us and comfort us through life's trials, and that no power of hell or scheme of man can separate us from you. The world, which you created as perfect, has strayed from your path, and it was for this reason that you sent your Son to live as a man among us, to offer the perfect sacrifice for all that is imperfect in this world. You call us to follow you and let you be our guide, and it is when we depart from your way that we break and damage the world and our lives. For this we are truly sorry. As we approach a season of joy and celebration in the Christian calendar, our thoughts turn to those in the world who will find Christmas a difficult time for many reasons. Internationally, there is more conflict in Yemen, with 68 dead and many others injured during an apparent ceasefire. We pray for peace in all places where there is conflict, a willingness to listen and to resolve differences without resorting to weapons. We pray that we learn to appreciate and celebrate our differences. You made every person in your image, and yet we are also different. Help us to find God in every person. We pray for the places where this is happening, for Tabitha, the Church of Scotland school in Israel, where Christian, Jewish, and Muslim children are taught side by side, learning about each other's faiths and about how to be friends. May the work in this place have a far-reaching impact across that area and the rest of the world. We pray for the people of the United Kingdom that the generosity of spirit demonstrated at this time of year can be magnified across the rest of the year, and that we should never be prepared to accept that in a nation as rich as ours, there are people who have to use food banks or who are unable to pay their heat or power bills. May no one in this land be hungry or cold or lonely this Christmas. Help us all to reach out with your love to work a miracle as great as the feeding of the 5,000 2,000 years ago, so that all may share in your love. We pray for those known to us who will spend this Christmas away from their nearest and dearest, whether due to work, disagreements, illness, or distance. We also pray for those who have recently lost someone close to them. Bereavement is hard at any time of year, but when all around are celebrating, it seems to magnify the loss. In this community, we think particularly of the family of Mr. John Auld. Grant your healing and your comfort to those who need it most. We name those known to us in the quiet. Lord, we ask you now to take our lives and show us the direction you wish us to take, that we may willingly follow the path you set before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now let us sing our closing song of worship, one of my favorite Advent and Christmas hymns, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Oh, this Christmas season and enter in. Just as Joseph came, just as Mary came, they entered in. Perhaps they tripped up sometimes, perhaps they got angry, but they entered in. We don't hear the stories of people like Herod, Augustus, or even the innkeeper, for they didn't enter in. Perhaps they're still holding on to their own dreams, still trying to create their own destiny. So may we put aside our dreams, our plans, and come and worship our King this Christmas. Come and worship our King, the one who came, the one who comes, and the one that will come again.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.